The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Joseph Jaffe, author of Built to Suck, The Inevitable Demise of the Corporation and How to Save It. And you are listening to Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. Cheers.
Hello and welcome to this hopefully short-lived series that will be airing in addition to the weekly Marketing Book podcast interviews. I'm your host, Douglas Burdett, and my goal during this unusual time is to reconnect you with past guests on the Marketing Book podcast, share some ideas and inspiration, and maybe a much-needed laugh or two. I've interviewed over 200 authors on the show, and my plan is to continue this series until I either run out of authors or quarantine, whichever comes first. A word of warning, the host and guest may very likely be drinking cocktails during these conversations. I mean, come on. They are recorded during the cocktail hour. To find the show notes for each episode with pictures of each guest and links mentioned in their conversation, visit marketingbookcocktails.com. marketingbookcocktails.com. See what I did there? And if you'd like to join the conversation, email a voice recording to me at douglas@salesartillery.com, and I'll try to include it in a future episode. I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, connect with me on LinkedIn where we can chat. Joseph Jaffe, welcome to Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. How are you?
I am all the better to hear your voice, and because I'm drinking a beautiful Glenn Rothers 1995 single malt scotch.
Oh my goodness, Joseph Jaffe, you're my hero.
I have to tell you that the one good thing of I heard a can get cracked.
Yes, I'm drinking a can. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, but I mean that implies that you are joining me as well. Maybe we need to get that Zoom room back open so I can see you drinking and you can see me drinking.
Yes, yes. Well, just the sound, just the description of what you've got there sounds delish.
Theater of the mind. Well, I want to just hijack your show just very briefly by wishing you and your family, and in particular your daughter, congratulations for graduating magna cum laude from the University of the South.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that, and it was very exciting. And she worked very hard, got an English degree with a minor in philosophy and French. And yes, you know, all the intelligence from children comes from their mothers. And so she was here Sunday when they were supposed to have the graduation, and all she could do was watch a video from the school saying, we're going to try and have a graduation ceremony for you in May of 2021. And so she was kind of disappointed. And so being in the South, we thought it would be a good idea to have a few mint juleps, which we did. And then there was a some lipstick that was on the counter, some black lipstick, which in answer to your unasked question, Joseph, I don't wear black lipstick. And she started drawing funny pictures on my face. And so she started doing it, and we took a picture, and it had some markup from her sorority. And so I posted that on Facebook, and I just thought, you know, she can't celebrate with her sorority sisters, so dad's going to do the best he can. And so that everyone can see this famous picture, which has really embarrassed my daughter now. But, you know, I'm the king of the dad jokes. I'll post it on this episode's show notes at marketingbookcocktails.com. So, Joseph.
And before you continue, I just want to say I disagree with you. In fact, you do wear black lipstick. You wear it very well, sir.
You know, Joseph, we spoke before we started recording, and that was one of the things we weren't going to talk about. But I think I would look good with black lipstick. In this case, that she was just drawing like the Greek letters all over my face as hers. So you are where? You're in at home in Connecticut?
I'm in Connecticut, yeah.
Okay. And you have the coolest accent in the world because you're originally from South Africa. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm from South Africa, and I've been here now for 23 years, and the accent looks like it's sticking with me.
Yes. Well, don't get rid of it, because I really do think South African accents are so cool. And I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but I just I think it's such an interesting blend. Now, you were on episode 55, and I'm up to about episode 280, but you were on back in January of 2016, an early supporter. That was only after I'd been doing this podcast thing for a year, and it was to talk about your book, Zero Paid Media. And really, very interesting book. And you've since had another book come out, which you mentioned at the introduction, on Built to Suck, The Inevitable Demise of the Corporation and How to Save It. And I wanted to ask you about that. But before we do that, I just wanted to give you a little bit of grief. You contacted me when the book came out and you said, hey, I got this new book. What do you think? I said, well, why don't you send me a copy of it? And I never got the book. So, you know, it just shows you where I rank, you know, I guess. But
wait, I didn't send you a book?
No.
I mean, your show is one of the most, if not the most influential marketing podcasts out there. And I screwed up by not sending you a book.
Yeah, that's all it takes, you know.
I'm can you hear that? I'm slapping my wrist.
Well, thank you for your kind words about the Marketing Book Podcast. But the reason I do that is, well, I want to look at the book. And also, if an author is going to be on the show, after they've scheduled the interview, it's a whole lot harder to get a copy of the book because they're kind of on to other things. But also, believe it or not, sometimes publicists will reach out to me and sometimes people don't really want to be interviewed, but they'll send the book and everything. And so I was like, I don't want to push these things. You know, people have other priorities or other things going on. So I was delighted when you said that you would come back on here for Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. What have you noticed? What do you think is changing? What are you telling people that they should be doing in this time that is I think, you know, just yesterday I was interviewing a fellow you probably know, Martin Lindstrom, and yeah. He's written this very short pocketbook, an updated, it's related to his book Biology, but it's all about the coronavirus. And he was explaining in that book very convincingly that there are changes that are going to now go into place, and everyone who's alive right now, they're getting a new marker laid down for the rest of their lives. And so I was wondering what are some of the things that have occurred to you and what are you telling folks about how all this can approach particularly marketing?
Oh man, I'm not even sure where to start based on you said so many things that I wanted to respond to, and let me go all the way back to zero, which is zero paid media is the new marketing model. That idea has stood the test of time. And I say this, which is when I wrote the book, I didn't even conceive or concede that the ultimate case study for zero was the president of the United States. Love him or hate him, zealots, entrepreneurship, retention, and owned assets. It actually almost dissected and unpacked his entire campaign to a T, mm-hmm. right? Zealots all about advocacy, love him or hate him, but you don't feel indifferent towards him. Entrepreneurship with respect to innovation, running on a platform of being an entrepreneur, but also the way that he used Twitter and disintermediated the establishment. Retention, which is the feeding and investing almost to a fault in the base. And then owned asset, the O of owned assets became him, right? You know, you use borrowed interest, use celebrities when you really can't stand on your own two feet. And instead of using Beyonce and Gaga and Oprah, Donald Trump used Donald Trump, and everything was Trump, Trump, Trump. And for better or for worse, whether it was stakes or university or whether it was his jet in the background, he became the ultimate free media or earned media machine. And so I just wanted to say, why do I bring that up? Because, you know, when I look at Built to Suck now, this book came out just over a year ago. And on the cover of the book is what I call the corporate apocalypse. And I was looking at the cover today, and JCPenney was there. And I thought to myself, I wonder what would have happened had the executives at JCPenney bought a copy of this book, read it, and actually tried to implement against it. And this book, you know, and I say this, I'm very clear about this. It gives me no joy, zero joy whatsoever to see a company fail, a brand falter, or an industry get devastated by the coronavirus, by COVID-19. I am a student of change and disruption and a recognition that we could have predicted this coronavirus, maybe not in name, but certainly in terms of impact, intent, potential, and the fact that the only constant is change. And so you were asking a question, and I got to tell you, I have conflicting emotions because I'm trying to eliminate any form of anger in my life because I've just realized how toxic and destructive anger is. There's a little bit of frustration when it comes to, I look back at this book now, but there's more pride, which is honestly, this book, and I'm not just saying it, I will give you your money back if you don't agree with me. This book is prophetic, and this book is in the right place at the right time. And this book really outlines if you are in the business of survival, which by the way, we all are, every single one of us, then this book talks about the fact that if you don't embrace your heresy, if you don't attempt to put yourself out of business, you know, if you don't embrace your fears, if you describe yourselves in 10 years' time the way you did 10 years ago, you are dead on arrival and you can take that to the bank. And so, you know, your question about what am I advising? What I'm advising companies right now is to prepare yourselves for the next crisis. Yes, the next one, because there will be one. But if you can, you know, I wrote this the other day, which is I said, you know, there's that old saying, which is hope for the best, plan for the worst. And my answer is plan for the best, plan for the worst, and screw hope, because hope is not a strategy. Mm. And so that you know, you can tell I'm fired up right now, but I'm fired up for saying we cannot afford to be victims again, personally or professionally. Personally, being laid off from a company that at the first sign of trouble, they whack us. That is not loyalty and that is not how to run a business and it's not how to run an economy. And professionally, when we think about brands and brand building, ultimately, what has happened is the I interviewed in my show, Corona TV, Rashad Tabakawala yesterday, and he spoke about the fault lines in corporations and industries has been exposed. The fact is, we might have thought we were doing well, but we really weren't doing as well as we thought, because if we were, we would have had the necessary buffer and safety net to allow us to ride out this particular storm. And the fact is we've been exposed and now we can cry about it, we can moan about it, we can be angry about it, we can blame people, or we can just pick ourselves up and do something about it. So that's what I'm telling people.
Yes, and that reminds me of the quote I've heard about from Warren Buffett, who talks about in a downturn, the tide goes out, and that's when you can see who's not wearing a swimsuit. They just weren't ready for that. Back to your point, though, about the zero paid media, Donald Trump's approach is a great case study. Politics aside, that's why I think, I don't know if you're thinking about it, but if you ever did a second edition of zero paid media, there's even more case studies you could talk about. And it also reminds me of how I was at the Inbound conference in 2015. I guess that's, was it? No, 2016 is when the election was. It started that day, the election day. We all voted. We flew to Boston, got there, and all the news suddenly changed. And I remember that David Merriman Scott, he had prepared a keynote for the next day after the election, and it was going to be on whoever won the election based on all their marketing. So he clearly must have prepared two different presentations. And he talked about some of the same things that you talked about just now, as well as in your book, which was long before the election. So you've talked about the Zero Paid Media book. Tell us a little bit more about Built to Suck.
Yeah, so Built to Suck is based on a couple of inspirational ingredients. One of them was, I used to work for an agency called TBWA Shire Day, and Jay Shire was credited with saying something to the effect of, let's see how big we get before we suck, before we go bad. And it was that, and then juxtaposed, or parlayed, I should say, I walked into my daughter's classroom, and this is maybe four years ago, let's say, and I saw this beautiful map on the wall. It was probably her history class, and it showed civilization. So it was really looking at the rise and fall of civilizations. 5,000 years of history, color-coded by geography. The Ming Dynasty, the Ottoman Empire, the Romans, the Byzantines, the Egyptians, Nazi Germany. And by the way, at the very bottom, this tiny little purple blip that said USA. Now, with the exception of USA, every single one of those civilizations or empires has been eradicated. Every one of them rose, every one of them fell, every one of them thought that they would conquer the world, that they would rule the world, that they would live forever, and they all fell due to the cruel and non-discriminatory sands of time, hubris, arrogance, etc. And I looked at it and I said, how is the if the corporation were an empire or a civilization, how arrogant are we or foolish are we to believe that it won't go the same way? And indeed, when we look at the continued rise and impact of technology, of disruption, of change, start of the startups, of the what I call the entrepreneurial revolution, the fifth industrial revolution, we've actually seen that this has come to pass. Just in the past few weeks, J. Crew, J.C. Penney, Neiman Marcus, but before that, the Kodaks, the Blockbusters, the Toys R Us's, of the world.
All those logos that are on the book, along with JCPenney, yes.
Exactly. And so the book basically almost comments on it and says, you know, there is a coming corporate apocalypse. And I talk about the four horsemen, which is size, age, being a public company, and culture. But then the book kind of outlines some steps which may help to save the corporation. That's why the subhead of the book says, the inevitable demise of the corporation and how to save it with a question mark. Because I will tell you, and I'm keeping it real and I'm being honest, I don't know that the corporation can be saved. Because and anybody know that works for a company or has done business with a large corporation, which is pretty much all of us, know that there is, you know, denial is not a river in Egypt, that there is so much arrogance. There is, you know, I talk about the success theater of GE. No one was allowed to bring bad news to the now ousted chairman of GE. We just see that companies cannot get out of their own way. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I just don't see, for the most part, a happy ending to the story. Which doesn't mean there won't be winners, and it doesn't mean that in the wake of this demise, there won't be new companies. And of course, we've seen it. I mean, we look at the big five today. You know, the Microsoft and Apple and you know them, and Facebook and Amazon and we've just seen these behemoths rise up, even bigger than the companies that came before it. But if you believe that even an Amazon won't go the same way. I tell you, a couple of weeks before this book came out, Jeff Bezos called an all-hands meeting, and he said, and I'm quoting, Amazon will fail and go bankrupt one day. Your job is to delay this for as long as possible. And I thought to myself, if Jeff Bezos could say that about Amazon, you tell me one company on this planet that wouldn't apply to and then some. And so that's what the book is about. I mean, it is truthful, it is hard-hitting, and it, you know, it is as honest as I've ever been, and the writing is on the wall, and it's time for companies to read it, and it's time for startups to read it and recognize that you know, be careful what you wish for, because everybody wants to get big fast, everybody wants to grow, but with that growth comes that sting in the tail, and that tail is suckage. Suckage is inevitable.
Mm. I can't imagine if suddenly Google or Amazon or Facebook went out, collapsed or stumbled heartily as quickly as they came on the scene. That would really be just amazing. But also, you know, if Jeff Bezos said that, that would indicate to me that maybe he's actually going to survive longer than most people would think with humility like that.
I mean, you would think that anyone that at least had the ability to foresee or envision their own demise would in fact be a little bit more heightened. And so I've developed a lot of, I'm very proud of the IP. I developed the survival planning canvas that people can download for free at builttosuck.com. I also developed this thing called the survival instinct because, you know, they say in my business, they say marketing is a muscle. You have to develop a muscle. And with this muscle comes, you know, strength training and repetition and breaking down. And if you don't exercise enough and if you don't, you know, there can be atrophy. But survival is not a muscle. Survival is an instinct. And I did just a little bit of very basic studying on it. And, you know, the survival instinct is actually built on two different aspects. There is self-preservation, which is don't kill me. And then there's adaptation, which is I'm going to kill you. And so I've kind of built that out. There's fear and pain that props up self-preservation. And then there's hunger and risk, and they fuel adaptation. And the fact is, if you have that heightened sense of not just awareness of that survival instinct, whether you are the deer, whether you are the hunted or whether you are the hunter, will determine whether you live to see another day.
Mm. Joseph, you wrote a blog post, and I'm going to include it on your show notes at marketingbookcocktails.com. This is at your website, Jaffe Juice. That's J-A-F-F-E. Juice. And it's the kind of post that I find so helpful in times like this. And it's 10 strategies for companies coping with COVID-19. And the first two, I want you to explain, because the first one is add value, part one. And then the second one is add value, part two. I get the message, add value. Talk a bit about that. And are companies not understanding still what that means?
Look, a lot has changed from the time that I wrote that article, and not bad change, but just evolution of even thinking. And look, there is direct value and there's indirect value. There is the ability to say, what can we do right now to help first responders and essential services? Like the Four Seasons in New York have opened up a new hotel. And they've opened up the entire hotel for essential services and first responders to use the rooms free of charge, whether it's getting a nap, whether it's going between shifts, whether it's changing or showering, etc. So there is that, and then there's also the aspect of LVMH or Anheuser-Busch InBev starting to produce sanitizer or whatever the case may be in their factories. Or it's the ability to help people with their bills or issue some kind of amnesty or some kind of ability to help people get by and get beyond. But I'll tell you, I've been quite critical right now of the we're all in this together and we've got your back. And it just seems like everybody jumped on the bandwagon. When they all did that, it all just seemed like white noise. I would tell you, I've tried to be as vulnerable and transparent as I can be. You know, to Warren Buffett's comment, I'm about as naked as the day I was born. And
this is an audio only podcast, so listeners don't need to worry.
Thank the absolute stars. But you know, the other day, I've just been so immersed in surviving myself, as we all are. And Audi called me. I have an Audi A4, and they called me to say that I was 28 days late on my payment. And then I said to them, "But why should I pay you?" And they said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I don't drive anymore. I don't drive. Why should I pay you?" And they said, well, you still have a lease. And I said, that's not helping me. How is that helping me survive? And look, I didn't mean to take it out on the poor person calling me. They were like, well, you know, what short straw did I draw? But then they said, well, you know, you could return it. I said, can I though? Can I actually break my lease now? And they go, well, there'd be a penalty. I go, well, that's not helping me. You know, I said, there are other car companies that have said, if I lose my job or if I can't afford to pay, you will, you know, break the lease without prejudice. So I said, what can you do for me? And they said, well, we can give you 3 months delayed payment. And I said, but how is that going to help me? Because I still have to pay the money. I'm still going to be on the hook for that money in 3 months' time. And at that point, I kind of, you know, I stopped protesting and I gave them my banking details and I paid the money. But that does not endear me to this brand or this company or any other company that at the end of the day are very quick to create advertising, but they're very slow to actually deliver against it. And, you know, I've put together a whole presentation, which is prepare for the next crisis. Yes, the next one. One of the questions that was asked of me right at the end was, you know, we've created all these new policies and all these new procedures. When should we stop them? Like, when should we go back to the old way? And my answer was never. And I could tell, like, you know, I could sense the gasps, even though it was a webinar, right? I could hear nothing in my mind.
Well, what did they mean by the old way? Like what they had found comfort in the past?
No. If you're late, then they refer you to a you know, then they ding you on your credit rating, and then they report it to some kind of third party service to a collections agency. In other words, all of these, we've got your back. We're in this together. Here are all the steps we've paid and we've taken. When do we go back to the old way, which is in other words, business as usual? Mm. And my answer was never. And my point was, you should not change any policy now that you couldn't, in theory, sustain indefinitely. Mm. And that is the difference. The difference is you have these companies that are, you know, all of these steps these companies have taken to add value, to your point, they really aren't about their customer at all. It's about themselves. It's just a continuation. It is, you know, am I allowed to use a slight, I mean, I've been drinking. Can I use a slight swear word?
Yes, absolutely. This is a cocktail show and it is the cocktail right. hour. So,
right. SSDD, same shit, different day. And I think coming out of this, the companies that really change everything about the way, who they are, what they do, how they do it, how they do business, those are the companies that we will gravitate towards. Because you know what? That human beings have short memories, but I have a feeling that many consumers right now are going to remember for a long time to come the companies that truly had their backs versus the ones that just said that they had their backs.
That is so true. And it reminds me of the Maya Angelou quote about, you know, people won't remember what you said, people won't remember what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And people are getting a good and bad feeling from companies. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this video that's come up a few times on this hopefully limited time series of authors in quarantine getting cocktails. And it's all COVID commercials are the same.
Yeah.
Have exactly. you seen that?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll include it in your show notes, but it really, having seen that and then hearing what you just said, it almost makes it more painful to be reminded of that. And my, I have to put a plug in for one of these companies that's walking the walk and they're not doing a lot of talking about it. But my son here in Virginia Beach and the Outer Banks, he's a EMT. And, pretty young. He was still living at the house. And my wife was concerned. Amazing. Yeah, thank you. He was going to catch the virus. He might still. And then, you know, we're thinking, well, I think he's going to bring it home to us. So we were asking, you know, could he rent a place someplace for, you know, 6 months or something? And next thing we knew, there was a big hotel at the Virginia Beach oceanfront owned by Diamond Resorts. It was a resort. And basically, they said they put a blog post on their corporate site and said, you know, if there's any coronavirus first responders that need a place to quasi quarantine, just like you described in New York, come stay with us for free. The place is empty. And so he's been there for quite a while. And I just thought, you know, I don't think they're advertising it. They don't. Their hotels and their resorts are empty. But I think for the rest of my life, if I ever have an opportunity to stay at, and I'd never even heard of the company, diamondresorts.com. And I just thought that was really very generous of them. And I just, I thought that it was a great example of action speaking louder than words.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's a fantastic story as well. And, you know, my biggest fear for this whole, this awful period in the world's history is that we will forget and we will go back to our old ways and our bad habits. And that's why I've been, and I will tell you this, I've written 5 books. I was talking to a fellow author today and I said, you know what, we've poured our lives. And that's why I just want to say, take a step back and hope that I don't get so ADD, I forget what I was going to say. I want to just give you kudos because I think this initiative has been fantastic, what you've done. And it's just tremendous. And you are helping us. You're helping all of these authors. And I know we'll probably talk about Corona TV later, or if not, I'll make sure we do.
I'll make a note. Yes.
But I did the same thing as well in terms of why I started Corona TV. But here's the thing. And look, you know, the marketing book podcast, there are 2 points. One is I made a pledge early on as one of the first marketing podcasters out there with Across the Sound and Steve Rebell and Mitch Joel on my show the other day. And I was one of the reasons why Mitch started his podcast because he wanted to be my co-host. I said, you can't. He said, why?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we talked about it. I said, go start one yourself. Go do it yourself. You don't need me. Do it yourself. But I've made a pledge to support every single podcaster out there. And I don't care whether you have 1 listener or 0 listeners or 1 million, I will be on your show, I will promote your show, and I will help do my part to be the rising tide that floats all boats. The other thing about being an author is that look, I mean, people text me and they go, I bought your book. And I'll be like, great, thank you. I appreciate that. I will put another $1.12 towards, towards that Ferrari that I've always wanted to buy. I'm kidding. I don't say that at all. But authors don't really make that much money from their books unless they sell 1 million copies or hundreds of thousands. But if you think about the power of a book, these are people that have poured their life's work into 250 or 300 pages, and you pay $20 for that book, $15, $17. How can you not have hit the proverbial jackpot by sponging almost? It's almost like highway robbery.
It is.
Then you buy this book and you read this book and you be like, you know what? 230 pages of Jaffe's book was crap. But the other 20 pages helped me earn $1 million or implement a $1 million idea. And that's why I just want to like say, it's just so important for us to support one another right now and to pay it forward. I don't even know if there was a question. I went on this whole rant. That's what happens when you make me drink. what was the question again?
Pour yourself another one. Well, I have such admiration for what you just described. People who write these books, they pour their heart and souls into this. You know, it jeopardizes their jobs and their families and their relationships, and they I just have a lot of admiration for people who write these books, and I, along with many of them, at least my listeners, we get so much out of reading them or even just listening to the author. So for me, it's like I'm the sports reporter who gets to show up for the World Cup and or the Super Bowl or whatever, and be able to interview these people that I admire so much. So I find that so many of the authors, almost all the authors, are just generous to a fault. In other words, they're writing the book, they're sharing everything. And again, I don't know that they're not making money off the book. I hope that it leads to success or happiness in some other way. But the other thing that occurred to me is I I didn't quite know what to do. There was just so much change was going on. And I heard from a couple of authors who had said, hey, maybe I should come back on the show and just talk about some research we have. I don't have a new book. And then I got to thinking, and I was overcome with this emotion of, what can this knuckleheaded podcaster do to help somebody? Can I be of help to anybody? And I had been hearing from a lot of listeners who were getting laid off or just really heart-wrenching things. And I thought, well, let me just go back to my source of inspiration. Let me just talk to these authors. And as I have mentioned previously on other episodes, I sent an email out to the over 200 authors saying, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? It's the same one you got. I said, well, would you be interested? And within an hour, over 100 responded and said, please let me help. Let me, you know, and they want to help. And so I think your evidence with your Corona TV, you're talking about the same thing. We want to help. And for me, I want to talk to people. And since you did mention my daughter, Joseph Jaffe, you are giving her quite the graduation gift by not requiring that she talk to her dad for at least another hour. So, but tell us about Corona TV.
So I wait until I tell you stories about my daughter.
Now, is she in college now?
She is. And, you know, she's, you know, we've gone through this as well with respect to her coming home from her freshman year. She's at WashU in St. Louis. And, you know, just dealing with all that disappointment. But the fact is, you know, and I'll come back to Corona TV in a minute, but, you know, there's that old saying, which is I complained about the shoes I wore until I met a man without feet. And, you know, as bad as it is to be a freshman in college, it's worse to be a senior, you know, and just what our kids have gone through, what we're going through, and all of that pales into insignificance when you think about the ultimate price to pay, which is unfortunately death. And it's very, very difficult at the best of times to contend with. But at the same time, there's always hope and there's always joy and there's always the ability, as I talk about, the small victories, the shelf breaks and you figure out how to fix it and to be able to say, I did that. I would never have done it before, but I did that. This is the kind of the DNA of this new global citizen, which is how we cope and how we figure it out. And even our relationships with our daughters, the embarrassment that I probably caused my daughter yesterday my wife cut my hair live on Corona TV. I sing on the show. I'm prepared to put myself out there, embarrass myself, just to demonstrate to my kids and to everyone else that, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You fail. You know, you embarrass yourself. You pick yourself up and you do better next time. And if you actually made somebody laugh, well, then mission accomplished. And so I'll tell you, when the world went to hell, I don't even remember the spark or the catalyst, but I just went onto Facebook Live and I just started talking. And what has happened, and I don't even know how it's – well, I actually do know how it kind of snowballed. One day I was watching someone on Facebook, and I was like, man, that show looks like you're in a studio. There was green screen, and there were titles and overlays. I said, how do you do that? And he put me onto the software that he was using. And then I was talking to my sister, and my sister has one spinning studio in London. She was basically faced with closing her doors. Because no one was coming into spinning anymore when they went into lockdown. And she said to me, I knew that if I closed the doors, I would close them permanently. So she moved her entire business online. First, she called up all her customers. She emailed them and she said, does anyone want one of our spinning bikes temporarily? And they sold out within 3 minutes, basically. And then she put them all into a U-Haul. She dropped them all off at their homes. She started experimenting with Vimeo and Zoom, and she started trying to do shows live and pre-recorded. I said, why don't you come on my show and talk about it? Let me pay tribute to entrepreneurs. And suddenly, I started going to interviews every single day. And then I named the show. I called it Corona TV. And before I knew it, I'd created a platform. And I just want to say three things. Number one, Why did I do it? Three reasons. One, I did it because it's been a bucket list item of mine. I swear to you, to have a television show or a video show. I've always wanted to have a TV-like show. Number two, I wanted to help as many people as I could in my own way. And number three, I've always been told that I have a face for radio, and I wanted to prove them. I wanted to prove them wrong. But you know what? There's a fourth reason, and that is I want people out there to know that they can do it. They can just do it. Just like the days when I told Mitch to go and start his own podcast or supported yours. Anybody wants to be in the podcasting business or streaming business or blogging or whatever, just go do it. There's room for all of us. We can all help each other. We can all be part of the rising tide that floats all boats. Collaboration is the new competition. You know, and if anything, what it will do is it will force us to up our game and be better. And so that's why, like, for your listeners, if you want to, and I saw, by the way, while we were doing this interview, you subscribed. Thank you. I saw you subscribe to the show.
Well, I'm watching. Is your sister Sharon?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Let me just add that my club closed down, and I'm a spinner, okay, at least three times a week. And when you said, does anyone want to buy one of the bikes, I'm thinking, geez, maybe she could ship me one in London? Yeah, I think you said
she's in London. And so, you know, that's what
I've already ordered one on Amazon, but they said, who knows when I'll ever get it. But
when it arrives there, if you want to subscribe, she's also like already innovated, and she has like a pay as you go. So you can like pretty much buy one class for like the equivalent of like $8. But I'll tell you that Corona TV now, I'm doing it every single day, Monday through Sunday. I take a break on Saturday, Monday through Sunday. And you know, I've invested in a new camera, and I'm thinking about a microphone and lighting and upgraded storage. And it's costing me money, you know, if anything, but it's given me purpose and joy, and I'm so energized by doing this show, and the amount of prep, it pales into insignificance when I have these little victories, when people will just write thank you for your show and thank you for what you're doing. But I know that there's a bigger vision here, and that vision is that I am living one of my bucket list items, which is I know that if I just if I stay the course, if I keep my head down, if I just continue building this, I'm going to have something substantial, and that will be awesome. It'll be awesome for me and my family, and it'll be awesome, hopefully, for the community I'm building, just like you have.
Well, let's just get one thing straight. Joseph Jaffe, you are not an unattractive man, because I've met you. I remember exactly where it was. It was at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston. Now, I think it was 2012, maybe 2013. You were standing there talking to none other than Mitch Joel. And I happened to have a copy. I have issues, Joseph Jaffe, okay? I'm going to admit that right now. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm clothed, but I'm going to be vulnerable. And that was, I knew he was going to be there. And I didn't realize you were going to be there. And then, but I had some of the authors that were going to be like David Merwin Scott and some of the others. I actually had copies of their books. I put them in my suitcase. I flew to Boston. I carried around the books every day, hoping that I would run into one of those authors. And there was Mitch Joel, and he autographed it. And then you were standing there with him, and said hello, and we started talking, and I instantly recognized your voice. I said, wait a minute, I've heard this guy. Oh, wait a minute. And then you said, yeah, I'm Joseph Jaffe. And I was like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I'm so sorry. Next thing I knew, about a year later or so, I got to interview you. So, you know, I really appreciate how nice you were to such a clueless man.
You've built this amazing, amazing asset. And the thing is that people need to remember that, you know, I did a certification course at the beginning of 2020 because I've been talking about bucket list items. I want to become, in fact, I'm not, I want to, I'm going to, I already am, because I've been teaching for 2 years online through West Virginia University. But I want to spend more and more time in my life teaching, because that gives me so much joy. And I'll tell you, one of the things I learned in this course is the best teachers are students as well. They're learning as well. And therefore, you know, students are teachers too. And so anybody that thinks they're high and mighty and that they're of a certain, you know, ilk or caliber or status, they're just like the Ming Dynasty and the Egyptians and the Ottomans and the Romans. They're just, as we used to say in South Africa, cruising for a bruising. So it's all a continuum. Humility, graciousness, generosity, kindness, these are the new superpowers. And I have, you know, I said to myself the other day, no matter what happens with Corona TV, because I'm telling you, I'm in it for the long haul and I'm in it to win it. No matter how much it grows, because failure is not an option for me. So I'm just going to keep doing it. So when success, whatever success looks like, hits, I will never, ever change. And if I do, people can call me out for it. You know, that's been one of the things I tell you in my life that gives me, it's my own little like perverted, you know, kind of, what do you call it? My little fetish is I love it when I bump into people that have either never heard of me or, you know, or didn't really quite know me, because I get an opportunity to over deliver and surprise them and delight them. And I love it. I love it. I love being the best kept secret. I don't want the notoriety, because with the notoriety becomes, you know, it's all the trappings and the failings of hubris. And I just, this is one of the things that I think has solidified in me through this COVID-19, which is we are all part of this human race, and we are all in this together. We don't need brands to tell us that. We know it. We feel it. We live it. And every day we have to keep on reminding ourselves that it's about us. It's not about the corporations and the brands. And that's why, like, I'll tell you, like, just final, you know, listen, I can keep talking to you for as long as you want.
I can listen to you all day too. I already told you I like your accent so much.
I've still got half a bottle of scotch, and it's getting smaller by the time. But you know, I wrote this book, I thought, for corporations, and now I couldn't give a damn about corporations, because you know, I don't need to convince anyone right now. I just need to help people. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to be helped, you can get lost. If you want to be helped, I can try and help you to the best of my ability. And that's been my kind of my awakening, you know, which is spend your time and spend your energy and your life force with people you care about, you respect, and that have that mutual, you know, the mutual admiration society. That's what life is about.
Mm. So See, I've got your bio up here with West Virginia University, and do you know there have been two authors on the Marketing Book podcast who are graduates of West Virginia University, two of my favorite authors, Mark Schaefer and Marcus Sheridan.
Oh, wait, and I've interviewed Marcus Sheridan on Corona TV, and I'm going to interview Mark Schaefer.
So make sure to mention that you're an honorary Mountaineer from West Virginia University, and I think those guys have been on a total of 8 times. And Mark Schaefer is the king of the Marketing Book podcast, because, and I say king meaning like Elvis, not British monarchy. Because he's been on more than anyone else, and he lives in Tennessee like Elvis, and he, you know, he drives people crazy when he's on stage. But I want to mention something else, though. There's another guy. Was Built to Suck published by Idea Press?
Yes, Rohit.
Okay. So Rohit. So I'm interviewing him as we record this in 2 days about his book that he's rushed to market on virtual meetings and virtual work. Really, really important. And at that point, he is going to be the second member of the Marketing Book Podcast 6-Timers Club. So, you know, Mark Schaefer, when I interviewed him for Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails, and he had coronavirus. He and his wife had it.
Yeah.
And he mentioned a couple times, he goes, you know, I've written 8 books, but I've only been on your show 6 times. And I said, well, I got to keep you hungry, Mark, you know? So now your friend Rohit is, you know, he's bringing the heat. So it's this incestuous group of people that I admire so much, and I like their books.
Well, just hold on. You've now shamed me into the fact that this is only my second time on the show.
And this one doesn't count. I mean, this is like an asterisk on, you know, Barry Bonds' baseball card, because these are a special classification. This is merely a supplement to the Marketing Book Podcast. You've been on once, but if there's any chance I could get a copy of Built to Suck, we're going to get you on the show, because I'd love to do that. I think I really like the book.
Listen, at this point, I mean,
that's too late. You're on to your next book.
No, it sounds like a challenge and a threat. So, the best I can do in quarantine is I can send it to you through Amazon. But you know, though, that by sending it through Amazon, as Amazon will tell us now on Amazon Prime, your delivery will be between August 14th and August 16th. But I will send it to you. In fact, listen, Rohit is my publisher. I'm going to email Rohit right now and say, send him a copy of the book. I'm going to make my publisher work for a damn.
There you go. But yeah, and I'll have to mention this to him when I speak to him on Friday, because he's been on Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. And wow, that's terrific. So it's interesting. And it's sort of like, as obvious, and you've already touched on it, but zero paid media was, you know, you could argue it was prescient, but it's become even more obvious now. In other words, when you say the title of that book, do you sense that you're having to explain it less to people than when it came out in 2015, I think it was?
You know what the thing is? It's so, it's funny, because again, we've been talking a lot today about human nature, right? Which is, I tell the story, I think I wrote it in Built to Suck, but I feel like I've said it many times. And I'm sure your listeners have heard the story, most of them, but I'll tell it briefly. The frog and the scorpion. The frog is in the water, the scorpion approaches, the frog says, "Will you take me across the lake?" And the frog says, "Are you crazy? There's no way I would do that." The scorpion says, "Why?" He goes, "Well, you're a scorpion." He says, "You'll sting me and I'll die." And the scorpion goes, "That's insane. If I sting you and you die, then I'll die as well. So, like, why would I do that? I just want to get across the lake." So the frog says, "Well, that makes complete sense logically." He says, "Hop on." And the scorpion is kind of on his shoulder. And halfway across the lake, suddenly the frog experiences this burning, searing pain, realizes he's been stung and is about to die. And as kind of life is seeping from him, he looks up, you know, as it's fading to black, and he looks up at the scorpion and he says, "Why?" And the scorpion says, "It's just in my nature." And that is the corporation. You know, the corporation is destined to fail because of the inability to change, the inability, you know, to adapt. And that is kind of the world, I guess, that really, what was the question again?
About the prescience of zero paid media, but also this.
Exactly my point. And my point was that you can put this all on a silver platter. But the fact is, these executives at these corporations and even the startups, they all want the Super Bowl ad. They all want to go to Cannes. They all want the path of least resistance. They all want the lazy option. And zero paid media, before I wrote Zero, I wrote what I still think is not technically the best book I'll ever write, which includes Built to Suck. The difference with Built to Suck is Built to Suck is maybe the most valuable and relevant book that I'll ever write. But I wrote Flip the Funnel, How to Use Existing Customers to Gain New Ones. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, you take retention as the new acquisition. You tell companies they can build that they've been spending too much money on what I call strangers and prostitutes, right? First-time buyers are strangers, prostitutes are promiscuous customer switchers. You tell them that there's a better way through referrals, through affiliate, through content creation, through testimonials, through advocacy. It's not sexy enough. You know, it's just not. And you tell them about zero paid media. Of course, they get it. You tell them that Amazon, Starbucks, Netflix, you can just go through Airbnb, Uber. Not one of them built their brands, their businesses on paid media. Mm-hmm. They all ended up using it. And by the way, before I forget, We spoke about the acceleration and compression about this. Just think about WeWork. WeWork is a classic example. I even talk about them in the book, and I do a little caveat saying no one lives forever, not even WeWork. And this was before, you know, the demise. But classic example, that size. Let's see how big we get before we suck. Once you get too big, you lose that personal touch, you lose the survival instinct or edge, you just become too complacent. And this is what happens. So your question is a fantastic question. And the answer is, you know, as the old saying goes, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
Yes, don't listen to me, you know, don't
Can I just ask a question? Yeah. Have other, you know, I know I'm not your first, but have other authors got this interviews, got this loose, this fast, or is it just me?
Well, you're a contender, definitely. But, you know, it's sort of you're not a scorpion, but it is kind of your nature, just not to hold back, you know, in your books and the sort of the candid nature of the way you write and present. I mean, anybody that has a book that says "Built to Suck," you kind of have an idea. You're coming at us with both barrels. But yes, there have been some. The longest of these I've done though was with Joey Coleman, who you've probably run into on the speaking circuit. And actually, he wasn't even drinking, so he's just a talker. But yeah, this has been great fun. And you mentioned, and on this note, because I do need to bring it down to, you know, my level. You mentioned strangers and prostitutes, and it reminds me of a comment in your that same blog post, 10 Strategies for Companies Coping with COVID-19, under Add Value Part 2, you explain that Pornhub is offering free access to Italians during their quarantine period.
Yeah, and that was
the things I learned on this podcast.
And let me tell you something, that might be the most effective strategy, bar none, to flatten the curve. Because
is to offer people free porn.
Yeah, if you ever want an incentive to stay home, that would be it. but I, you know, I love that example because, you know, and here's the thing, we're such hypocrites in this world. And I'll tell you, look, again, I've had some potential clients be a bit nervous. Built to suck. Oh, that's a bad word. You know, that seems too negative. We want a positive message. Again, success theater. And I'm like, if suck is a word that scares you and makes you nervous and makes you feel insecure, then you've got bigger problems if you can't put someone on stage who's going to say, you know, who's going to use the word suck. And that's the thing is we bristle at these, you know, words or phrases that make us feel that we feel we shouldn't go there. And why not embrace, in this case, porn? And I'm not talking about embracing porn, but I'm saying this is a great example of a company that certainly doesn't take itself that seriously, but more importantly, is actually playing into a human truth, which is whether it's sex, whether it's porn, we all do it. We all swear. But for some reason, we like to sanitize our communications. And dare we, you know, indicate that we're actually human beings. And it's so ironic because what is a brand at the end of the day? A brand is not real. A brand is just, you know, is just a mirror. It's a reflection. It's a distortion. It's a perception of reality. The reality is we're human beings. We're people. We're people that serve other people that have the same, you know, damn insecurities. And when Pornhub comes along and says, hey, Italians, you're going through a bad time, have a premium subscription for free. But by the way, just like Microsoft Teams did, the more, you know, try before you buy. You could look at it cynically if you wanted to and just say, what a great sampling strategy. Try before you buy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they like it so much that they'll pay their whatever the cost is. See, if I told you what the cost is, that would be a tell. You would know how much, you know, that I know exactly how much Pornhub costs, and I don't. But that's what we need. We need more of that. You know, we need more of that. I haven't actually shown it on my show, but by the time this interview comes out, did you see what KFC did on Mother's Day?
No.
So I mean, I'm.
Please tell me it wasn't related to porn.
It was close. They have. I couldn't believe this was actually KFC. I thought it was a spoof. They have these what's called the Chippendales, which are essentially Chippendales like men, and of course the leader of them looks like the Colonel. And they did this whole like dance for moms. And I was and the worst part of it all is my mother sent this to me. I was like, Ma, like, you know, these guys getting pretty much semi-naked, except for like their speedos. But it's all about mom, how much you rock and how awesome you are. And what they actually did is you could customize one of these messages where they would have your mother's name. And I tried to do that for her afterwards, but they'd stopped the promotion. I wish they hadn't. But that's the kind of stuff that the world needs right now. And I will tell you that number 10 in that article that you mentioned was, it's, you know, it's all humorous until it isn't.
Yes.
You know, and what's actually happened right now is that almost a complete now, not 180, kind of coming full circle. That what we actually need now is more humor and frivolous and superficial and slapstick. We don't need to be serious. We need to laugh, and we need to just take our mind off what's happening right now. And that's why this Chippendales thing was just so absolutely ridiculously awesome. And by the time this interview comes out, I will have shown it on Corona TV and or just go and search for it. It's quite brilliant.
Oh, well, I'll try and include that episode in this episode's show notes at marketingbookcocktails.com. And if otherwise, I'll try and find a video of it. So that's very interesting. So we've talked about chicken, we've talked about booze, we've talked about porn. You know, we're really pretty much covering the waterfront. And I think I can just put those hashtags on LinkedIn, and this is pretty much going to own, LinkedIn. So on that article, though, you say, to summarize, we're all in this together. Employees, customers, communities, yes, even some governments. Compromise and collaboration are going to be key in order to get through this crisis. I urge corporations out there to think about taking longer-term proactive versus short-term reactive steps in order to take actions today that ensure a viable, healthy, and profitable tomorrow. So, Joseph Jaffe, I really appreciate you joining us on Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails, and I hope that you and your family continue to stay safe, healthy, and reasonably sane.
And I appreciate that. And I want to say to your listeners, and this is a little Easter egg, which is, and I'm going to be as explicit as possible. First of all, if you want to discover Corona TV, it's every day live on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn, but you can actually subscribe to the show through my channel, which is coronatv.show or jaffejuice.tv. But that's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say is, for anyone that has listened to this until the end, first of all, I apologize.
And say, he's apologizing for me, of course.
For all of us. Second yes. of all, you guys must be bigger masochists than we are. But I want to give you something back, which is, if you email me, and I'll give you my email address, joejaffe@gmail.com, joejaffe at gmail.com, and just put, you know, just put, you know, put anything that identifies the fact that you came from the show. Call it Marketing Book Podcast, call it, you know, Authors and Cocktails. What's it called again?
Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails, which is exactly. A rip-off of Jerry Seinfeld.
Comedians, authors in quarantine
getting coffee, yes.
Anything that uses any of those keywords, I will email me and I will send you a link to the entire webinar that I did, which was preparing for the next crisis. Yes, the next one. So I'll send that to you with my compliments.
Wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, but I'm not surprised by your generosity. Joseph Jaffe, thank you very much again for joining us on Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails.
It was truly my pleasure.